home stretch of 21 days of prayer, and we've had our 6 a.m. services every day during the week, and we'll have those again this week. We'll have 6 a.m. prayer every day, and so we'd love for you to come to that. That's at 111 Atlanta Road. That's our ministry center right over here, and it's been good. The air's finally fixed, so praise God for that. Because I'm one of those people, I'm like, we need to have it cold in the prayer room, especially at 6 a.m., so that people are awake and they don't come in their pajamas. So we try to keep it cold, and so the air is working in there again, so we praise God for that. And another reason to praise God for the air working in there is our student ministry has tripled in size in 2 weeks. Isn't that amazing? So y'all pray for Pastor Rhett. He's got a great team of leaders who are helping him to disciple these kids, but man, it's just continuing to grow. And I think the football team who, let's praise God, they baptized 14 guys on Friday morning through FCA. And we're going to do a lot of shouting this morning. Praise the Lord. 14 football players who said, I want to give my life to Jesus, and I want to declare publicly that I have given my life to Jesus, and I want to follow him. So they got baptized by some of their peers, one of our own. Actually, Isabel Bonnerchuk led that morning. She led the devotional and then helped lead in the baptisms. And so just really an awesome time. And the football coach said, well, we'll just invite them to come to y'all's youth group because it's right after we get done with practice on Sunday afternoons. They finish at 5. Youth starts at 5:30, so we'll see how many of them show up. And I saw on Facebook last week a softball player said, we might end travel ball practice early on Sundays and take the whole team to youth ministry. And so I'm excited about what God's doing at Great Community Youth, and Pastor Rhett's doing a good job and building a team. And if that's the serve team you want to be a part of, you need to go through Growth Track, which there's a session 2 today, so we can get you on that team. I'm actually probably going to hire a babysitter today so I can go to Great Community Youth, because I love being around students and making fun of them, and I think it's just fun. So y'all come, y'all continue to pray for that. They meet at 5:30. So, and finally, I want to invite you personally, just give you an invitation to Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. at our new property that God allowed us to purchase a little over almost a year ago. Yeah, praise God for that. We have a night of worship that's going to be at the property at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday. So I'm praying for a cold front to move in so that we can worship together. But you'll need to bring your own chair for that. The service may last about an hour. And so we'd love for you to come for that. And we're going to pray over the land that God has given us. We're going to dedicate it back to him. That's the 1-year mark since we started our 2-year discipleship initiative called Whatever It Takes, where we're saying we're doing whatever it takes till all of Jones County knows Jesus. And even on year end, God's kind of shifted it. We want to do whatever it takes till the whole world knows Jesus. And so we're leaning in, pressing into that, which is another reason why you want to be at church next Sunday. You're going to want to be here next Sunday. We're going to do a 1-year recap of what God has done in Whatever It Takes. And then a 1-year, just kind of here's where we're heading next. Here's where we're going. So I'm going to give you an update, maybe get to show you something cool on that day too. So just be, you're going to want to be in the room next Sunday. And I would encourage you to come be outside with us next Saturday night. What a monumentous occasion to have our first service there. There's been a couple of events or things that have taken place out there. Some of the men and women in our church have organically started some discipleship breakfast stuff, and they hadn't really promoted it a whole lot because we don't know where it's going to go, but the men have been meeting out there on Saturday, the third Saturday morning of every month, and praying and just asking God to move and doing some discipleship stuff. So just really, really cool. And men, if you want to come to that, there's one this Saturday. I'm going to give a little shameless plug and just invite you to come this Saturday. Somebody tell me what time it is. 7:30, be there at 7:30, we'll sit in the shade. But just encourage you to come to that worship night, 6:30, and then next Sunday, a 1-year update on where we are and Whatever It Takes. And so I'm thankful. And I just want to pray over what God has been doing over Whatever It Takes and just this 21 days of prayer. Jesus, we just thank you so much. We're just so humbled that you would grace us with your presence. Lord, we're so humbled that you would allow us to walk with you. We're so humbled that you would allow us to know you and to find freedom and to have community together and to just see the world changed. We get to make a difference every single day, and we get to make a difference in someone's life, and it's because of how good you have been to us. We thank you for the land that you've allowed us to purchase. In just 1 year, you've done some incredible stuff. And so God, we're just leaning in and pressing in as you continue to move. We thank you for the students and the wave of revival that seems to be sweeping through our student ministry and through student ministry at Jones County around all the churches. And so God, we just ask you to bless that, and that kids would continue to give their life to you in Jesus' name, that you would raise up older Christians to disciple and mentor these new Christians. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we just thank God one more time? Man, what an exciting day. What an exciting day. We're in week three of our series called Aware. Week one, do you remember what it was? We want to be aware of his presence. We got some people who took notes. If you take notes, mansion's bigger in heaven. Aware of his presence. Last week, we talked about being aware of his plans. We want to be aware of his plans. And God has laid out a four-part process for your discipleship, for your transformation in the Bible. It's that you would learn to know him, and then you would find freedom, and then you would discover your purpose, and then you'd learn to make a difference in the world, and that you would start changing the world. And I've heard a quote said like this before: you may not be able to change the whole world, but you can change somebody's world. Amen. You can impact somebody every single day, and that comes from a place of knowing God. Once you know God, once you have a relationship with him, and then you get involved in his people, you find freedom. And then when you find freedom, you start to discover what God created you for, and then you get to go do it together with a group of people. The fourth part of that process in each of the scriptures, it's in there 14 times in the Bible, it always connects you to a people. It always connects you to something greater than yourself. And I would argue that most people in the world long to be a part of something that is greater than themselves. Long to be a part of something significant. And you can be a part of something significant every day by knowing God, finding your freedom, discovering your purpose, and then making a difference, helping other people find their freedom. And I told you last week that it's impossible to find freedom by yourself. God did not design for you to find freedom by yourself. Now, you can know God and find salvation, but to experience all that God has for you, to experience all of the plans that God has for you, to discover your purpose, you have to do it with a people, because that's how he designed it. I gave you this scripture last week. James 5:16 says that confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, right? We confess our sins to God so for salvation, but we get in relationship with one another so that we can find freedom, so that we can find healing. And if you're tired of walking in the same walk you've walked every single year, get in a group. Get around some people who love God and allow them to help you find freedom. Allow them to help you open the eyes of your heart to see the things that you can't see. I know I got blind spots. Anybody else got some blind spots? Like some things that, like, until somebody points it out, I just don't see it. And you know, you got a really good friend when they point it out, right? You ever just been somewhere, got something in your nose, and then you get home, you're like, no one told me. Jordan's favorite text to people when they do that goes, you're fake. You're not a real friend. You would have told me this, right? You let me walk around looking like I got all this stuff in my life. You could have told me, right? You got some people like that in your life, like, I just wish you would have told me. We got a testimony from someone who got baptized earlier this year, and he said, I'm over 30 years old, and I'm learning about Jesus now, and I'm finding freedom. I just wish somebody would have told me sooner. I wish somebody would have told me sooner. And that's my walk with God. Like, I gave my life to Jesus, and then I thought it was all about avoiding sin, and I just wish somebody would have told me sooner that there was more for me. I wish somebody would have told me sooner that I can live with heaven invading my life every day, that I can have joy, and I can have purpose, and I can walk in freedom. Right, because and so we become aware of that, right? We become aware of his presence and his plans, but then we got to be aware of his people. You got to have his people in your life. You got to have the people of God in your life. Look how it says it in Ecclesiastes 4. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. So this is a guy, you just think about it, single guy, no kids, working as hard as he can to prosper himself, to build a lot of wealth, right? We know people like this. Some of you do this and you have a family. You're just building a lot of wealth and you're trying to attain a lot of stuff. And that's not a bad thing. But then the man asks himself, he says, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is also meaningless and depressing. It's meaningless and depressing for this man because he has no one to share it with. He has no one to do life with. He's all alone. And so we have to learn to become aware of God's people so that we can learn that we have God has a new life for us and we can find freedom and our life isn't meaningless and depressing because we're a part of a people. Someone asked me one time, how is Great Community Church reaching young families? Teach us how you're doing this. And I just tell them, I want to point them to Jesus and then I want to bring them into community. I want to point you to Jesus so your eyes look at Jesus, and then when you see him, you start to see his people and you get into a place with people. And you guys know this, I'm like kind of, I don't know if I'm a fiery preacher or a revivalist preacher, but like I'm pressing in, I'm going to push you really hard because I just see so much potential in you. And today's not going to be one of those messages. Today's going to be one of those messages where I'm inviting you into freedom, where I want to invite you into a community of people who want to see you thrive. So this, I'm actually probably going to go a little shorter today because our group leaders that have open spots in their groups are going to be waiting outside to have a conversation with you if you'd like to get in a group. So the whole point of today's message, we've already fixed our eyes on Jesus in worship. We've celebrated praise with what he's done, and we gave testimony and thank God for what he's been doing. Now I want to point you to a group. I want to get you in a community group because community groups are the place where you will find freedom and you'll start to discover your purpose. Anybody in a group can testify to that? Look at that. People all over the space. And my heart, our desire as we get in groups is continue to have a group. Our goal, our mission is to have a group available for every person who comes on a Sunday. We try to limit our groups 12 to 15 people. Okay, so you do the math. 450 people were here last week, so that means you need about 40 community groups, right? We got 15. I believe God's going to continue to raise up. And here's what I want you to know. If we'll get this right, if we'll get community right and relationship right, there won't be enough seats in this building to hold us because people are longing for connection. They're longing for relationship. They're longing to have relationship with people. Why? Because two people are better off than one. For they can help each other succeed. If a person falls, the other one can reach out and help, but pity the person who has no one to pick them up when they fall, who is alone in the real trouble. And some of you sit in this room surrounded by people. You're surrounded by people every single day, but you feel alone. You feel like nobody sees you. You feel like nobody cares. You feel like nobody wants you. You feel like there's nowhere for you to go, that you are all alone. And I want to tell you that's a lie from the enemy. You are not alone. And you don't have to be alone. You can. I think sometimes we choose to be alone, right? We want to separate ourselves, but you're never alone because God is always with you. His presence is always around you. But you can get involved in his people and you can be known and you can be needed. I think everybody longs to be known and needed. Now, praise God, there's some times where we not have to feel needed, right? Some of you moms are like, I'm always needed. I want a break. Like there's joy in being known by somebody and needed by something that's greater than yourself. And that's what we're trying to help you unlock. And that's why we've designed our church the way that we have. We gather on Sundays to look at Jesus, and then we get in homes throughout the week to learn more and find freedom. This is how God designed the church to operate. That's why we do Sundays, and that's why we have community groups in homes. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 2 when the church started. They worship together in the temple each day. That's why I think God pours out blessing in 21 days of prayer, because we're meeting every day. Together in the temple each day. And then they met in the homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. So they would meet in the temple for church. And then they would go into each other's homes. They would partake in dinner together. They would open the word together. They would pray together. And they would do mission work together. They would be generous together. And the Bible describes in the book of Acts that no one among the people of God had a need because they all met each other's needs. And that's the design of community groups. That's what it is designed to do. And I believe that's what is going to continue to set us free. And I believe that's what God has designed our life to look like. I believe God has designed you for community. And in real life, I gave you a big idea for today. The big idea for our community groups is to be fully aware of all that God has for you. You must be in biblical community because God designed you for community. He designed you to live your life that way. He designed you to be around people, not by yourself, all alone, because there's no one there to pick you up. There's no one there to help you. And I say this, and I write this intentionally, to be fully aware of all that God has for you. I want you to hear that all, and all in the Greek means all. Y'all didn't think that was funny. I thought it was funny. To be fully aware of all that God has for you. You cannot be all that God has created you to be without the people of God in your life. Because when you gave your life to Jesus, he grafted you into his body. You became a part of the body of Christ, and you need the rest of the body. You need all of you, and we need all of you. And for you to learn and flourish and grow into all that God has created you to be, you have to be around godly people. And let me tell you this. We cannot, if we're in a group, we cannot be all that we were called to be if you don't show up because you're needed. And you're necessary. And people ask all the time, we got some ministries we want to do. We want to see some things happen. I'm like, I'm waiting for God to raise up the right leader to do it. Right? Because we can't do everything, but together we can all do a lot. Right? If we'll all just do a little bit, we can accomplish a lot. And we see that, and we're doing it, and we're walking into it. And I'm so serious about this. So we're taking a whole Sunday just to invite you to be a part of community groups. And we lead up to this every semester when we start groups. We lead up to in August and in January, we're leading up and we're pouring out and we're pressing in for you to get in a group so that you can be known and so that you can be needed, because that's the plan of God on your life. You know, I think a lot of people think that the Bible is all about God fixing sin. But you know that sin wasn't the first problem that God addressed in the Bible? The first problem God addresses in the Bible is isolation. It's loneliness. So think about the creation story in the book of Genesis. God created on the first day and it was good. He created on the second day and it was good. He created on day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and it was good until Genesis 2:18. God's putting together all the people, Adam's naming the animals, and then there's a moment where God stops and he goes, wait, something's not right. It is not good for man to be alone. The first problem that God fixes in the Bible is not sin, it's isolation. It's for you to be alone. It's for you to separate yourself. And I think I just find so much truth that we were created for community. You were created to be in relationship. You were created to have relationship in your life. And that's relationship with God, and that's relationship with each other. He rescues you, redeems you, sets you free, and then puts you a part of a people. Right? And there's so much importance to that. And people say, well, I can be a Christian and not go to church. And y'all know my response if you've been coming for a while. You just won't be a good one. You won't. Because you can't be all that God has created you to be without each other. You can't see your blind spots. You can't see the potential in yourself that you thought you may have or that you didn't know you have. You have to be involved in community because you were created for community. You were created to be in community, and that really reflects the Godhead, the Trinity himself. God said in Genesis 1:26, then let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, all the same being. And he's saying, we live in holy community. We want our people who bear our image to live in holy community. That's what God has designed you for. And if I had time to explain the Trinity to you today without jumping into heresy, I would, but it's just really hard to explain and hard to teach you in a sermon. It's something you have to study and understand, and it really goes beyond our comprehension. But we know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were all present in creation, and they said, let us make man in our image to be like us. We were supposed to live in union just like God created us to be. And it wasn't good for man to be alone on the earth, so God created a helper suitable for him. Any men in the room just thankful for your helper? I know I am. Praise God. Yeah, some of you getting brownie points, some of you getting sitting in the back seat on the way home. It's a good thing to be in biblical relationships because God created you for it. He created you for it. He says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he planned for us to do long ago. We kind of have a selfish community, don't we? We think that God created me in God's image, and I am his masterpiece, and I have a plan for my life, and I'm going to do great things. No, he says, we are the masterpiece of God, and he has plans for us to do. He has plans for all of us to do together. It's a communal thing, and God has invited us into that, and I got to ask you these questions because this is where my mind goes. If we were created for community, why is community so hard? Why are relationships so difficult? Why is community so rare? Like, you go into our world today and it's hard to find community, especially godly community. And if you want to break down the word community, it's common unity. We're united around something common. And in the Bible, in the biblical community, we're related and we're in common ground around Jesus and around his plans for our life. So why is biblical community so hard? Why is it so rare? Why can't we just all get along? That's what I asked my 5 and 2 year old yesterday. Why can't you just get along? Son, she's two. She doesn't know. I believe God looks at our life like that. As a parent, I long for my kids to know each other really well and be friends and grow up and do life together. And those who are in Christ Jesus are children of God. Our Heavenly Father looks at our life and he longs for us to get along and to do life together and to share life together. Why? Because we were created to do life together, to be in community. But why is it so hard? If it's so good and if it's God's plan and he created us for it, why is it so difficult? I think you probably know the answer. Sin fractured the relationship. In Genesis, it was good when he created it. He recognized that man didn't need to be alone, so he fixed the isolation problem. And then Adam and Eve together sinned. They both sinned, and the result of sin is always death. The result of sin is always death. For when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death. And so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. If you came today and you thought your life was perfect, God says otherwise. For everyone has sinned, including me. We have all messed up. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all fractured the relationship that we have with God and with each other. And so it's hard to live in community because sin exists, and the result of sin is death. And you know what gets in the way of between the sin and the death? I would say it's selfishness. In the moment that sin entered in, sin always leaves us self-centered, self-sufficient, self-protecting, self-promoting, and just selfish. God created us in his image so that we could do his work, but sin entered in, and so now it's all about me. I think there was a country song about this, wasn't there? All about me, all about I. The number one. Oh, my, me, my. We live our life that way. Everything's about me. How can I protect me? How can I get my life together? How can I promote my family? How can I promote myself? How can I be self-sufficient where I don't need God? That's what Adam and Eve were doing in the garden. When they partook of the tree that God asked them not to, which was the knowledge of good and evil, the temptation was that they would be like God. Newsflash, they were already like God, but the enemy lied to them, said, you can be like him. God's withholding something from you, so you need to go and take this sin. And when you take this sin, then you'll be like him and you can rule. He already gave them that response, but he already gave that to you. But we take the sin so that we can gratify ourselves and then we can have pleasure in ourselves, and it always leads us into this place. And the result is selfishness, which leads to death. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus said this in Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. We got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, which means we lay down our life for somebody else. To take up your cross means you lay down your life for someone else, because that's why Jesus was holding the cross. He was laying down his life for you. He was laying down his life for me. He was laying down his life for the sins of the world, because the wages of sin is death. And when sin enters in, someone has to die. And Jesus chose to take that punishment for himself. And if you give your life to him, you can have eternal life where you won't die from your sin, because Jesus already died for you. But when we walk in our self and we try to be self-promoting and self have all this selfishness about us, man, it leads us to death every time. And, you know, I think every person in the room, I've never met someone who just, you know, admitted, I think I'm just selfish. Y'all ever had someone admit that? I don't think I've ever heard anyone admit that. But when it gets down to it, every single one of us are selfish. Why? Because we're sinners. Because we have a sin nature. And it's designed in us because of the sin that's in us to look out for ourselves. And God says, I don't want you to look out for yourself. I want you to look out for others. You know what happens in the beautiful thing of biblical community? You may not be looking out for yourself because you're looking out for others, but you know what that means? Someone else is looking out for you. And when you don't play your part, someone's not being looked out for. That's a great football devotional right there, isn't it? When you don't do your job, someone else is going to be left out to dry. And it's the same in the body of Christ. When you don't participate, you cannot be a part of, your brothers and sisters will not get to be all that God has created them to be. So God created us to be in community, but it's difficult because sin fractured it. And I also think it's difficult because Satan attacks it. Satan attacks community. His desire, his goal is to attack your life and lead you to sin. And then when he leads you to sin, he whispers in your ear, hey, you're a sinner. You should be ashamed. God wants nothing to do with you. And so then you stop showing up. You stop going and doing what God's called you to do because you're living in shame. And the enemy's doing all he can to convince you that community is not where you belong. And I got a couple reasons why I think this happens. I got a couple reasons why I think that the devil does this. It's because he wants to get you alone so that he can attack you even more. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 4 again. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We do our community groups in 12s. Right? Because when two people stand back to back, you got someone can walk. You can look forward. They can look that way. You got three. You got three ways. You got four. You got 12. You got a lot. We got to do life together. So that we can protect one another, we can guard one another, we can love one another. But I also believe that Satan attacks community because it's something that he used to have that he can't have anymore. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. It's quick. Satan's defeat, Satan was a worship leader in heaven. He was one of God's angels, and he desired to take God's place and to take God's worship, and he became selfish, and God cast him out of heaven, and Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. You know what that tells me? He didn't stand a chance, because lightning falls quick. He didn't stand a chance. And so now Satan, in his jealousy and in his anger and in his selfishness, says, well, if I can't have God, you can't have God either. Satan knew what the community with God was like, and so he does everything he can to keep you from community. He attacks what he used to have, but now he can't have because of his selfishness, because of his sin. And I also think that Satan attacks community because he knows the power of community. He experienced it. He lived in it. He saw it. He felt it. He knew the power of community, and now he knows what can happen when the people of God link arms and do life together. So he does what he can to keep you from that. John chapter 17 records one of the longest prayers that Jesus ever prayed that we got to hear, right? Where someone wrote down the prayer. In John 17, it's called the high priestly prayer. Jesus prays for himself. He prays for God to be glorified. Then he prays for his 12 disciples. And then it says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, he's talking about the 12 who are among them, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. You know that if you're in Christ Jesus, he prayed for you? You ever wanted to know, like, and I teach this in like marriage counseling. If you want to know what your partner's thinking, you should pray for each other. Like, pray for them out loud. Because you really get to the heart of what someone's feeling when they pray out loud. So when your spouse prays, you can hear what she's really thinking. You go, oh, I didn't realize that's what you were thinking. There's power in that. Jesus, ultimate desire, this is right before he's arrested. He knows he's going to a cross. He knows he's going to be beaten within an inch of his life, and then he's going to hang on a cross and then die for 3 days. He knows all this is about to happen. He knows the torment he's about to happen. Actually, in some of this translation, when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says he begins to sweat drops of blood because of the angst that's in him as he's looking forward to taking on the punishment for our sin. And in that moment, sweating drops of blood, he's thinking about you. He prayed for his disciples. Now he's praying for us. What's he praying? Verse 21 tells us, I pray that they will all be one. Jesus, in his final moments, sweating drops of blood, awaiting the punishment for your sin, is praying that if you'll believe in him and accept him, that you'll be one together. I don't even like sitting beside some people. Jesus said, we got to be one. United. We have to have community. We have to have a common unity and a common mission and a common goal. Jesus, in his final hour, is praying that we would be united as one, just as the Father and Jesus are one. Will you sit with that for a second? We believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are completely one. Jesus is praying that you and I would be completely one just as he is one with the Father. I'm waiting till I get to heaven for Jesus to help me understand what that means. I really am. Because that's real close. That's real intimate. That's really united. Not selfish, but looking out for the interests of other people. He prays that we'll be one as the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father, and may they be in us so that the world may believe. Someone's salvation is on the other side of our unity. You think about, like, we get in church and we rally together as a church because we, you know, we got to work some things out, and sometimes maybe there's difficulties and some things like that. But when we walk out that door, we're one. Why? Because lost people need a church that's one. Lost people need to see a church that's unified. I believe Satan attacks community because he knows that when the people of God are united in community and in mission, the world sees and worships Jesus as a result. And man, we live in a time now more than ever where the church needs to stand up unified as one. There's been some pastor conversations I've been a part of recently. We're talking about, it just seems like people are kind of migrating back to the Catholic Church again. And the Catholic Church has some really good qualities, but there's some qualities about the Catholic Church that are not true. And there's a reason that the Protestant Church exists. And if you don't understand church history, go Google it. You'll have a lot of time to fall asleep with what you're reading. But I had a pastor ask me, why do you think young people are kind of moving and migrating towards the Catholic Church? And my response was, the Catholic Church is united in what it believes. Even though some of what they believe may be wrong, they're united in it, and we live in a world that wants to be united. Now, we might love a good controversial post that we love to type into and stir the people up, especially on Jones and for the Goods, and we love to get them rolling, right? We love to take part in stirring the pot. I'm a pot stirrer, that's me. If I could do it anonymously, I would. It's like one of those little guilty pleasures, like, let's just see what I can do here. Every time I ride by some of those gated neighborhoods with the gates open, I text people and say, hey, your gate's open. But man, the world, we say we love those things, but you know what we love even more? To be a part of something that's united. Teams, sports, any kind of organization, if it's not united, it'll fall. A divided kingdom cannot stand. It will fall. And I believe God wants us to be a part of community today, and Satan does everything he can to attack that community. I'm gonna give you a couple of community group anthems that we at Great Community Church, we shout and we cheer these on. And I'm gonna give you seven of these because I think seven's a good number because God created in 7 days. But there's more. This list can be exhaustive, but there's seven things that we try to accomplish in our community groups. These are beliefs that we have. The first one is that God, community groups are God's primary way to proclaim the gospel. God's plan A for carrying the message of Jesus to the world is the church, and he planned for the church to meet on Sundays and in the gathering homes and groups. I believe it's God's primary way to proclaim the gospel. I also believe it's God's primary way to help you find freedom so that people can be in your life and help you find the things that you are hurting, the places where you are broken, and they can lift you up so that when you fall, they can pick you up. I also believe that community groups are our primary way at Great Community Church to help you take next steps. Everybody has a next step that they can take. Everybody does. I have next steps that I can take in my relationship with God because I'll never make it all the way there. And it seems the closer I get, the more I go, man, I got some work to do. And we all have next steps that we can take, and community groups at Great Community Church are the primary way for you to take next steps. Also, community groups make a big church really small. We care about every single person who lives within our vicinity that we can reach. We do. And so we'll continue to work as hard as we can to get as better as we can so that we can take care of people so that we can reach as many people as possible because all people matter. But we also work really hard to have groups that are really intimate and small so that you know that you matter. So we grow big for lost people, and then we have to grow small so that we can grow together, and community groups help us do that. I would also say that community groups are the backbone of this church. This church will only be as healthy as our groups. We will only be as healthy as we are united. And community groups gets us there because we all start taking next steps together. We all start serving together. We all start making a difference together. And we live generous lives. So it's the backbone of this church. I also believe that life change happens in relationships. I don't think it happens in rows. I think it happens in circles where you have conversations together with each other and you can see what's going on in someone's life and you have to take off the mask and stop hiding and saying that everything's perfect when it's not, because people see your life and they can tell when you argued on the way to community group and they can look at you and say, hey, brother, what's up? You're doing better than you think. You should apologize to your wife, but you're doing better than you think. Life change happens in relationships. And then groups are where disciples become disciple makers. I believe that God has called each and every Christian to make disciples. The Great Commission was not just for a select few. It was for all of us. And community groups help get you to that place so that you can do everything that you can with it, what God has gifted you to do to reach the people God has asked you to reach. And no one else is there to reach them but you. And community groups help you get to that place. And we design our community groups after this in Acts chapter 2. So if you want to know what to expect, if you're thinking about joining a community group, which I know you're going to join one today, and we're going to run out of space, so we're going to have to start new groups because you're going to join one today. But this is how we design them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We get in the word together. They devoted themselves to fellowship. So we just have fun together. We have a relationship together. They break bread together. So they eat and then they pray. So this is what a community group looks like. You show up, hopefully on time with the meal, the thing of the meal that you were signed up to bring, or if you're not a good cook, you were assigned to bring the plates. You show up and you eat a meal together, and then you open the word together that we heard on Sunday, and you learn how to apply it to your life. You get two questions in the group, God, so you eat, then you break off, you read the scripture together from Sunday, then you get two questions to help you understand the sermon, to help you understand the scripture, and then you get two questions to apply it to your life. I think sometimes we get so caught up in what did you think about that, rather than what are you gonna do about that? Right, so we want to do two, interpretation, two, application, and then you'll pray together. And prayer is not a transition piece. It's the most vital thing that we do as a community group because we pray first. So if you want to know what group's like, that's it, 6:30 to 8. Some of them meet on Sundays. They might have a different meeting time, but most of them are 6:30 to 8. And they have childcare, and we do life together. We support one another. And you know what happens when we do that? It says that everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They actually sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need, and every day they continued to meet. Every day they continued, and they couldn't text. They had to physically get together. Every day in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And they praised God. Here's the result. Enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Every day. So if you want to be in a group, that's what they look like. They eat, read the scripture, learn how to apply it to their lives, and pray together. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And a lot of times, here's what happens. We'll invite a couple to community group, and the wife will go, I'd love to be a part of that, but I don't think my husband will. He's really shy. He's not going to talk. Usually they end up coming, and the husband talks more than anybody because they long to be known and needed. And most people long to have their voice heard. That's a word for somebody. Here's our promise in community groups, and then I'm going to pray, and we'll be done. We promise to do this in community groups. We promise to know one another, to care for one another, to encourage one another, to grow with one another, because we all need to grow, to pour into one another, to lead one another, and to love one another. That's our promise in community group. If you want to be discipled, you want to be pastored, you want to be taken care of, you want to be loved and known and seen and grow in your faith, you got to get in a community group, because that's the primary way that God's asked us to do it here at Grow Community Church. And I don't see that shifting anytime soon, because I don't think the Bible's going to change. So I don't know what God may be calling you to today. Maybe God spoke to you in the message of Jesus kneeling, sweating drops of blood, and thinking about you, and you recognize that your life's not in Jesus. And you don't have relationship because you don't have good biblical community because you don't have relationship with Jesus. And maybe your next step that you need to take today is to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus, and you know him, but you have no freedom in your life. You're stuck and you're not in a group. Today's your day to sign up for a group. There'll be 6 groups outside that would love to meet with you. And if those fill up, we'll figure out a way to do another one. Because we're a whatever it takes church. Maybe you need to discover your purpose. We got a growth track session today. Maybe you need to declare to the world that you got saved already and you need to get baptized next week. I'd love for you to sign up for baptism. Let's all bow our heads and just ask the Holy Spirit how we should respond. Holy Spirit, would you reveal to each person in the room what their next step is? Maybe they need to get in a group today and they know that that's the thing that they've been missing. Or maybe they're not sure and they just want to try it. Maybe they'll take a next step to try a group for this semester. God, would you give them the faith to take another step? Lord, I pray for the person in the room who's already given their life to you and maybe they need to be baptized and go public with their faith. I pray that you would give them the strength and the courage to put a target on their back by declaring to the world that they know who Jesus is and they're going to serve him with the rest of their life. Lord, I pray for those in the room who feel like they need to be baptized. I pray for those in the room who've already been baptized, but they feel like they're stagnant. Would you just unlock and unleash something in them today? Help them see what's keeping them from true relationship with you. Lord, we all have a next step we can take. Maybe we need to serve on a team. Would you lead us to that? And right now, Lord, I feel like I need to specifically pray for the person who felt deep in their spirit when we said that the first problem in the Bible was isolation. Lord, if there are people in the room right now who they feel like their life is meaningless, who feel like their life is depressing, who feel like they are all alone, would this moment right here, would they feel a touch from your Holy Spirit so that they know that they are seen, they are loved, and they are cared for, and they have a Savior who died for them, and they can give their life to him, and they never have to be alone again because they can have a new life with you. And if that's you, and if God's calling you to salvation, you're tired of being alone, today's the day to surrender your life to him, to pray and ask Jesus into your heart and ask him to surrender or to help you surrender your life, and then you follow him for the rest of your life, and you start taking next steps. If you need prayer today, our altar's open. We have a prayer team that's available for you to pray with you and help you understand what God may be speaking to you. And then our groups will be outside ready to welcome you so that you can take a next step in joining a group. Let's stand and we'll continue worshiping Jesus together.